You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Sometimes you just need to throw your feet up and mail it in.
I don't expect a lot, man. Pretty much if the hut doesn't burn down, it's been a good day.
It's kind of what we do on Friday.
I was transferring the contents of the file into this flexible accordion-style folder.
I'm not working today, man. I got an earache.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Final hour for the week leading into Thanksgiving. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Mitch Berger, our buddy, will join us around 6:30, looking back on the Thursday night or last night, and ahead to week 5 in the NFL. Raptors in action tonight down at the Scotiabank Arena, their first preseason game at home because they were here for the media day. Then they went to Vancouver, then they went to Utah, and now they're home and they're taking on Melbourne. Am I saying that properly?
No.
Melbourne?
Melbourne.
Melbourne.
You were saying Melbourne, and I was like, where the hell is that? Melbourne means Australia to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what it is. Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Anyway, Kawhi Australia. Will not play, Kyle Lowry will not play, CJ Miles will not play, Fred VanVleet will not play, OG Anunoby will not play. So it may set up for a shocking outcome tonight. I saw someone tweet out earlier this afternoon that Vegas has an odds on it. There's a spread, but it's like 24.5. The Raptors are 24.5 point favorites.
Really?
I think you got to put some money on Melbourne. You have to.
With the lineup, who, like,
you know, right, you're going to have though. Pascal Siakam's going to play a lot. JV will play. DeLon Wright will play a ton tonight. Like, those are legitimate NBA players. They're still going to beat this team. They should beat this team.
Well,
but 24
yeah,
and a half
yeah.
points, I mean, I don't know if they cover that number. I don't know if they'll cover that number.
I think they'll cover. They'll be
put
fine.
It in your best bets.
Okay, I will. Because I got called out in the previous hour.
You did, by so Mike.
Yeah, Mike called in and said, hey, don't take it personally, but I'm going to turkey dump your
best bets for 1 month.
I love when somebody starts a comment with, you know, I'm not trying to be rude or anything, and then they just destroy you.
Yeah. But he wasn't rude about it. He said, Brian,
good, yeah.
I like you.
Yeah,
so
he seems like a decent enough guy, but still. You know, he could have taken a run at one of you two, and he took a run at me.
Well, if he would have taken a run at O would have said, hang up. And usually I'm like that, too, when people are rude to me. But he wasn't rude. I think he was just being honest.
Wasn't being rude.
Yeah.
He was just being honest. That's fine. I don't ask you to follow up on these best bets. I'm just promoting the way I'm going to be rolling that
exactly.
particular evening.
What
we'll get to our
towards.
Best bets later in the afternoon. We got a pair of Leaf tickets to give away at some point this hour as well. Leafs-Kings, Monday, October 15th. So we'll do that at some point between now and the end of the hour. The Leafs are in action tomorrow at home against Ottawa. I'm going to be down there tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, again, as we've been saying throughout the afternoon, great sports night.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got Leafs-Sens, and then you've got UFC 229. But it's Thanksgiving, so there's a lot of family obligations.
But it's not Thanksgiving tomorrow night.
No, but it's a whole weekend thing. You know, some people do their, you're doing your thing tomorrow night.
Well,
right?
I'm not.
Yeah, because my brother has his wife's family stuff on Sunday, so tomorrow's the only day we could work it out.
Mm-hmm. So, basically, whoever can work out their schedule, that's when you're going to meet up.
Is your brother, is he over the Jays right now?
He's
done with
them? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was done with that season. He would, I think, still enjoy his backyard watching the games.
Right.
With possibly a brew or two.
Well, that's fair.
But as far as his intensity and caring, I think it was gone after a month.
I don't think anybody was intense. You know, like you were. Nobody.
How could you be intense about it?
Well, you have. There's nothing in September. You weren't on the edge of your seat.
You have a little bit of optimism. That's the, you're hoping that if the bringer of rain was healthy and Strosho and like if it all kind of fell, Sanchez, if it all fell into. To order, it would
well,
have been
for
okay.
Sure. This time last year, people had that optimism, you know, going into the next season, and they started off 12-5. People forget that. They had a great start.
Yeah.
They had a great start. Remember, like 2 years ago, remember they lost like 10 of their first 11 games?
Yeah, it was ugly.
And it was over. Everybody knew it. They were 2 weeks into the season, and it was over. They were done.
That's right.
This year, they started 12-5, and they finished with 73 wins.
Yeah, people were still waiting for it to fall off.
And I think they swept Baltimore on the season series, or real close to it. They went something like 18-0 against Baltimore, or 16-2 at worst. So think about that. They started 12-5.
Yeah.
Almost swept the season series against Baltimore and still only ended up with 73 wins. Right. Like, that was ugly. I'm prepared to move on from the 2018 Blue Jays. Yeah. And we're moving into a new era.
They right? should have been on the turkey dump segment.
Yeah.
We're dumping on them.
We're done with the 2018 Blue Jays.
We're moving
turning
on.
Over a new page. They're going to have a new manager probably in the next month. But
it's not Russell Martin.
It's not going to be Russell Martin. No. He's still technically.
What if they pulled
employed.
The Garth Snow and just, hey, you got $15 million left on your contract? You go manage the team for a year.
That would be interesting.
They're talking about all these dynamic ideas about what language. Don't you not think it's just going to be Eric Wedge? Like, doesn't all signs point to him?
Well, I think it'll be someone who has previously been associated with Cleveland. And people aren't going to like hearing that. But just based on what we've seen.
History.
What history has told us. We didn't get into Vernon Wells' tweet a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Someone, did you see that?
He chirped. He's like, oh, you probably got to be a part of Cleveland's organization for so-and-so to happen. Mm-hmm. It was a low blow.
Someone sent him a tweet like, hey, we'd love to have you back up here. You should come up and work for the Jays. And he wrote back saying, well, considering I've never played in Cleveland.
Probably not going to get the job.
Probably won't get the job. Which is a pretty good shot. I mean, the majority of the people that they have working with them and for them have an association to Shapiro, who was there for 20 years. He was in Cleveland for a long time.
Yeah, I'm reading it. I'm pretty sure I need to be a former Indian to be involved with the organization.
Yeah, which they do have to be careful about that in terms of their former players feeling.
Do you not think that that's
association.
What keeps them going, though? They just keep saying, well, look at what Cleveland's doing. We built that.
Yeah.
So just trust us. We know what we're doing. That Cleveland team, that's all us.
Maybe they do, though. In a roundabout way, maybe they do. Like, there is young prospects coming.
There are. For sure. I mean, and Vladdy's the number one guy. Beyond Vladdy, it's a crapshoot. Yeah. You know, I think Bo Bichette can play.
I
think
that Bichette.
Biggio kid can play. They've got some kids in A-ball, low-A ball, some arms that might develop into something in the future.
Right.
Like, down the stretch, some kids did perform. You know, Gurriel Jr., I like him.
Right.
Billy McKinney came up in September and performed. So they got something, you know, for sure. They've got some sort of a foundation, but...
Right.
In terms of the excitement and being on the edge of your seat down the stretch was non-existent. And that's why it opened up the door to the amount of hype that we've seen for the Maple Leafs. Like, we talked about this on Wednesday. Pierre LeBrun sent out that tweet prior to the home opener that someone had paid a scalper $800 for a pair of tickets in the greens.
Yeah.
And the scalper told Pierre that the year before for the opener, home opener, that person paid $250. Not the same person, but he sold the same tickets for $250. I think that's it. Now it's a drop off, you know, until we get towards the end of the season and into the playoffs. But you think the scalpers are still making money tomorrow night with Ottawa in town? It's hockey
Saturday
night, Saturday night.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a big weekend. A lot of family in town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, scalpers.
Sure. I don't think they're thinking about Ottawa. It's just the buzz about Tavares and
it'll be
cooking tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's not as much about the rivalry. It's just that people want to lay eyes on what's going on with the Leafs. So, it's not going to be an $800 pair. They're still going to make money on it. Like, that's going to be sold out regardless, and it has been. When the team stunk, they were still selling out. Asses in the seats are a different conversation. When things weren't going well, there were empty seats, but they were always spoken for. People just didn't go in them. Now, I think that's a building that is going to be hanging from the rafters every game. It's going to be a hot ticket because the team is good, and people are going to want to be in there. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's great.
Scalpers are going to make a heyday. Now, depends on... I read something online that like pissed people off. That it was like almost like StubHub or one of these... Ticketmaster was hiring like scalpers. I just read that article. And it upset people because it was almost like they were doubling down on their product.
There have been a lot of investigations recently. Like, mm-hmm. the CBC and the Toronto Star, I think, worked together, and they dug up. I read it, and I can't remember all the details.
Yeah, that's right. StubHub stuff where they're working with scalpers.
That's right. That's right.
Working with scalpers and working with the teams as well. There was something that came out where this happens all throughout baseball. But the teams are basically saying, listen, we want to put these tickets on the secondary market because this is what the price is right now. But we know we can get more than this, so we're going to sell it to you, and we'll take some of the profits, and we'll split it. Right. Something along the lines
of that. A
which
bit greasy.
It's incredibly greasy.
I wouldn't want to be on the email chains for that type of stuff. That's greasy.
Yeah.
Well, you're
taking advantage of people, and you're saying, you know what, the face value, that is what we're promoting.
Supposed to pay.
We believe we can make more than that, and we're going to find a way to circumvent it because we don't want to take the heat by jacking prices.
Right.
But we're going to essentially jack them through a secondary market.
Make our money
somewhere else.
Another way.
Yeah. We can blame StubHub, and we can blame Ticketmaster. We can blame SeatGeek or whatever company it is that they're using and that they're working in conjunction with. Go blame them. It's not our problem. Whoever's selling those tickets, meanwhile, it could be the team that's actually selling them. You don't know. When you're buying tickets off people on a secondary market, you don't know who it is.
Right.
You just know that the tickets are available, they're legit, and you're willing to pay whatever you're willing to pay.
Yep.
Everyone's been in that position. I have overpaid for events that I really wanted to go to.
Yeah.
A lot of times I tried to get them the day they came available, not even talking about sports.
I overpaid for the Wiggles next weekend.
Yeah, we've done that before, too. We couldn't get them live.
You got to be part of like a Wiggles, fan club to have first access for these tickets.
Wiggles groupies are the only ones that can actually get tickets.
We did the same thing. I got rinsed for these tickets.
We did, too. We did the exact same thing.
I'm not even
secondary
going.
Market for the Wiggles. It was like $80 a ticket or something. Like, it was insane.
I think I was like at $1.40.
They don't even have Jeff Wiggle anymore.
He's been gone for a long time.
Yeah, Jeff Wiggle's
It's
been
a whole new era of the Wiggles.
This is Lucky, Anthony.
Jeff Wiggle's the guy that had the naps, right?
Well, Lockie's taken over that now. Lockie now falls asleep. Yep.
Wake Up Lucky is one of the songs.
Well, Lockie,
I'm telling you, Lockie. Like, don't complain Lockie about the Wiggles. Emma. Because...
Why? No, they're great.
Dude, it gets really weird. My kids are 6, 7. They start watching YouTube.
Oh yeah,
they start watching kids like playing with toys and like it's so goofy.
I know. I don't understand it. Do you know how much money those YouTube people are making off those things where they just have little toys and they do the voice?
The Kinder. My daughter would watch Kinder eggs being opened.
Same. Mine does too. She's not even 3 and she'll sit there and watch it sometimes.
It's ridiculous.
And then you look at it, 140 million views. Like, that person who's opening up a Kinder Egg is making, like, $3 million a year off YouTube.
It's ridiculous.
Like, it's a lucrative business.
It is, but, I mean, I'm not...
I don't understand how that's entertaining at all.
I'm not schooled enough in it, but I don't mind kids being entertained by that, but there is a level. I had to learn the hard way. There is a kids' YouTube and a regular YouTube.
Oh, is that right?
Well, yeah. There's the kids' YouTube is a little bit more.
It's more censored. You're saying
exactly. You don't have to.
I think we might have that now.
Scare
that I think
the hell
about
out
it.
Of themselves because they're watching clowns in.
Well, and also what can fields. Happen is like the YouTube algorithm. Every once in a while, what will show up in the suggested videos are stuff that relates to what you have searched for in the past.
Exactly.
So if you've been watching, Buffalo Bill clips. All of a sudden, your daughter's like,
pressing on it.
She's like, oh, who's this guy? This guy looks nice.
He's got a skin sandwich.
Yeah, it's Buffalo Bill.
Did we ever pull up that sound?
We listened to it. We've made an executive decision that we can't play it.
That it's a no guy?
Yeah. Like, we've been...
Wow.
It's just, it's not good.
Top.
It's over the top. It's a movie.
Let's
Everybody
hear
knows
it. Make
no,
it.
We're
can't.
Not playing it. And, I mean, listen, we got to brighten up the day a little bit. We've been asking people to call in and tweet in and text in with their turkey dump stories, and it's been ugly. It's been a dark afternoon for us. So we need to kind of brighten things up, all right? Mitch Berger will join us in 15 minutes. I want to get into this story about Sam Darnold writing a letter to the fans of New York. Jets fans up on their website. He's had 4 starts, and he's writing them a letter explaining his process and Anyway, it seems strange to me. We'll see what you guys have to say about it. UFC 229 tomorrow night. We're teeing that up. Leafs sends tomorrow. Leafs in Chicago on Sunday. Week 5 in the NFL. Raptors in action. Lots going on. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we've got a pair of Maple Leaf tickets to give away. Monday, October 15th, Maple Leafs, LA Kings down at Scotiabank Arena. Why don't we give those away right now? That's going to be a fun game. That's, you know, LA only rolls through here once a year. You got Kopitar, you got Doughty, yep. Ilya Kovalchuk, who we haven't really talked a lot about.
Did you pick him tonight in your pool?
No, I don't have Kovalchuk. I have Kopitar again. Had him last year.
Yeah. But, like, I thought maybe Kovalchuk would be kind of a sleeper in people's pools because he's going to get power play time.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked really good in preseason. He had that end-to-end play. Like, this he still has speed. And it is a speed game, but I was concerned about his, you know, him getting older, maybe lost a step. He looked really good as far as pace. Now, I don't know how that's going to translate over 82 games and everything, but
they're not really a fast team either. Like, the Kings are more kind of bigger and heavy.
Well, they have
kind of a throwback.
Yeah, they've infused a couple kids. That Adrian Kempe is a really good player, I think. They've got a couple young kids, and the biggest, I think, guys that need a bounce back's the wrong word, but another big year is Toffoli, Pearson. Those young kids that were infused, mm-hmm. now they're
years
kind of
ago. Now they're vets.
Now they're mid-aged now in the NHL.
So tickets, we've got them here for you. The phone line is open, 416-870-1050. Trivia question. Auston Matthews has played in 3 season-opening games.
Mm-hmm.
How many points does Auston Matthews have in those 3 season-opening games? Combined. How many points combined in those 3 season openers? 3 years ago, or 2 years ago in Ottawa, last year in Winnipeg, this year against Montreal. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. If you have that answer and you give it to Al behind the glass, you're going to see Leafs Kings. Leafs sends tomorrow night, Leafs in Chicago on Sunday. Garrett Sparks is going to get the start.
I'll be in the house.
You're going to be there.
Yes.
That's going to be a fun night, man. I actually have come to appreciate the Sunday night games as long as they keep the Saturday night games.
Right.
Saturday is an institution. It's a part of who we are, I think, as a country.
Right.
And I'm selfish. I'm a Leaf fan from Toronto, so it means more about the Maple Leafs because they're the ones that always play. As long as they stay on Saturday night, I'm okay with sprinkling in some Sunday night games.
Yeah.
Because generally speaking, it's a football day for me as a fan. But
the football game seems to start at 8 or 8:30 or whatever, and you can go from the hockey game and roll right into the end of the football game.
Yeah, absolutely. If they play like a 7 o'clock game, you're flipping over to the football game for like the start of the second half,
right.
Which is perfect.
What time is this fight on Saturday? Like, do you have
time to
recover from the hockey game?
Oh, it'll be late.
Oh, yeah.
They won't get... Is that
like a midnight thing?
Oh, yeah. They'll get into
the
octagon
11,
around 12 o'clock.
Yeah, it'll be 11:45. Like, it'll be late.
Eastern time, not...
Yeah. Eastern time,
okay.
Yes. You'll be... If you're at the Leaf game, you're walking out of there at 10 o'clock...
You've got plenty of time.
You've got a couple of hours to get home or get to a bar or do whatever. Because we had Dutchie on earlier from Vegas, and he's saying what he's hearing down in Vegas is UFC is anticipating this will be the most sold card in UFC history, which doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, McGregor, I love what he represents. This whole fight has kind of it's got a WWE vibe to it, but it is real once they get into the octagon because they are promoting.
Right.
They're promoting emotion. They're promoting hatred. These two guys... Everyone remembers what happened in Brooklyn last year where Conor McGregor showed up and threw a chair at the bus, and that was about this guy.
For me, it's all about Conor McGregor. He's the one guy. He just gets me to watch. I've never watched this type of stuff ever in my life. And as soon as he disappears, I'll probably never watch it again. But for some reason, he's the draw for me. He's the guy that I want to watch.
It's the epitome of a needle mover, right?
Yes.
Like, he moves the needle.
Unlike it's like when Tiger Woods says, golf clubs, go in the garage, I'm done. I don't know how much golf I'll watch.
So, who is, as far as needle movers, period, in sports?
Yeah.
McGregor.
Mayweather still is.
Tiger.
David.
Tiger. McDavid's close. McDavid is
talking like world stage. City. This quarterback world. In Kansas City is starting to move the needle.
But like world Mahomes, stage.
You're talking know? World stage? Yeah. Like LeBron is yeah. international.
Yeah.
Messi, Ronaldo.
Yeah, those guys for sure. Like big moments. Yeah. But the whole world is watching a World Cup final regardless of who's playing.
Right.
Canada could be playing and the right. whole world would be watching. But you're right. Ronaldo and Messi move it. A big tennis final in a big tournament at a Grand Slam, maybe.
So Federer.
You know, Federer taking on Nadal or wherever. But there aren't many, man. There really aren't. Like McGregor, this is worldwide. It's international. He moves the needle, unlike anybody else that I've experienced in the UFC. Like, when GSP was at its height, at his height, he sold a ton of pay-per-views, and I was invested as a Canadian and everything. But this guy's on a totally different level.
GSP fights were not
that entertaining. They were so boring. They were incredibly boring. He wasn't, you know, he's not an outspoken guy. He just goes about his business, typically Canadian in many ways. McGregor's a show.
Yeah,
you know, McGregor comes
out.
He's a sideshow. He starts yelling and screaming and rambling. And he's selling whiskey and he's swearing. Yeah. And half the time, you don't understand what he's saying. He is he's a showman, but he backs it up. He's a great fighter too. So, and this Khabib cat is literally like he's fighting bears when he was 5, 6 years old.
I watched the video wrestling a bear. Now it's a baby cub, but still, he's wrestling a bear.
Yeah,
like it's. I think the Khabib is Clever Lang. The first time that
it's
he fights Rocky.
Rocky. It's Rocky
but 3. But Rocky 3, when Clever pushes Mickey and Mickey dies during the fight, that's where I think... And Clever Lang beats the hell out of Rocky. Like, I think Khabib could beat this McGregor. Now, I don't know enough about it.
But I'm worried about McGregor I'm with you, though. I'm worried about... McGregor hasn't been in the octagon in almost 2 years. Last time he fought, quote-unquote, was that sideshow with Mayweather.
Right.
And
I think he's been training like a big shot.
Made so much money. He's got the whiskey that he's promoting. Like, where's his head at?
Right.
You know, we'll find out tomorrow night.
And Khabib's been training in a basement with cement blocks. And
totally. Fighting bears and eating nails.
It'll be neat to... They're going to get my money.
It's a must-see fight.
They're getting my money.
I'm in. I'm totally in. Yeah. Like, it's a must-see fight, and I haven't said that in a long time. I say that about Mayweather fights.
Yes.
And
even if he fights Pacquiao, you're in?
Yes, I'll watch Mayweather-Pacquiao 2.0.
Me too.
I'm a sucker.
I'll get sucked into that.
Yeah, it'll be the worst fight of all time, but I'll watch it. Yeah, I'll see it, for sure. All right, Mitch Berger will join us here in a moment. So, the Jets put on a clinic Monday night, opening week in Detroit. Sam Darnold threw a pick six, his first throw. Beyond that, he was brilliant that night. He hasn't looked so good the previous 3 weeks or the, I guess, next 3 weeks. They're 1-3. They're the same old Jets. They're terrible. The Pats are going to run away with the division again. But taking a page out of the Players' Tribune, for some reason, Sam Darnold decided to write a letter to the Jets fans that is posted up on NewYorkJets.com. Now, it's clearly not him actually penning this. Like, someone, there's a ghostwriter.
What would you say the percentage of the athletes have a ghostwriter?
100%.
Dude, I couldn't put a paragraph together.
No.
I mean, I can spell and write, but as far as punctuality, what's your job?
There's no way, man. No, nobody could. I couldn't sit here and write like this and make it feel like it's just it flows beautifully.
Right.
Like it everything that this guy connects, like all the dots come together and there's a closing
like Jonas
comment.
Fired it up.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's this someone wrote this that is trained to write these type
of
letters.
That's what they do for a living.
Which is fine. I mean, we all know that. Let's not be naive. It's the same thing with the Players Tribune. All those pieces, David Ortiz didn't sit down and write a 1,500-word soliloquy about his life growing up, and that just didn't happen.
No.
Neither did Bautista, Jeter. None of them have done that. But what's strange about this is the timing. Like, he comes out, and he's trying to explain, I guess, his disposition, because he's kind of got a laid-back California vibe to him, and now he's in New York, and I would assume it's become a conversation. He doesn't look like he's angry enough when he loses or when he throws a pick six. Why does he just put on an Eli face or whatever?
Right.
But you're 4 games into your career. Why are you writing a letter to fans at all? The timing seems very strange.
Well, if I'm a guy that's getting destroyed in the media, I'm going up to this kid and saying, why are you trying to be a hero right now? And telling everyone how it is, and it's a process, and I'm a rookie, and I'm going to make this happen. I would say this is Jamie and myself have a term for it, but we can't say it on the radio. it's a blank, blank move and not cool.
Do you know what saying it is?
I think I can piece it together now.
Starts off with bag.
I see what it is, yes. I got you. You could have used the second word.
It's ass kisser move. Why don't you say that?
There you go.
Yeah. He's looking for brownie points.
Yeah.
It's, hey, look at me. I've got it all together.
Yeah, look at me. This is so hard, and I'm going to turn this around. But everyone else is like, okay, thanks a lot, bud.
But here's the thing about this. There's a Mark Borowiecki angle to this.
So you think that the organization went to him?
It's on NewYorkJets.com. Like, I find it hard to believe Sam Darnold said, hey, go find me the editor-in-chief of the website and tell him I've got something written here that I'd like posted.
So they said, we'd like to put your face on this letter.
I think so. I think the team, working in conjunction with him, but don't you think he would have been able to say, guys, I'm not doing this right now.
Right.
Like, I'm not writing this, or even if I'm not writing it, I'm not getting behind it. I'll write something at the end of the year. Hey, it was a fun ride or whatever, ups and downs. It's a great being a New York Jet.
Right.
You know, four starts in while the season's still ongoing and you've lost three in a row. Why are you writing anything?
Yeah.
But why is anyone from the team putting him in this position?
You know, it is a bit weird.
I feel like it is kind of a Mark Borowiecki kind of thing. Yeah, was he getting chirped last night at all? Did you hear any chirps?
Like I actually...
Well, you were between the benches.
He's one of those guys you better be careful because you're going to chirp and he can come right up to you and say, okay, how serious are you about this?
Yeah.
And if you're not...
because, he is...
He can beat your face in.
He is a guy who can back it up. But there wasn't much chirping between... Like, there were some hits, but... We were talking off air. Like, this is not an angry game right now in hockey. Yeah, there's some hits and some bad plays.
In many ways, it's soft.
For the most part, it's not. It's an intense game and very quick, but it's not the rivalry between Chicago and Ottawa. There's nothing there. It was both teams just trying to get their season going, and it was sloppy, but it was pretty fast and pretty good.
Everyone gets a point. Overtime. See you later.
Yeah.
Here's West Coast Mitch. Mitch Berger,
yes,
our NFL analyst, longtime NFLer. What's up, Mitch? How you doing, man?
West Coast Mitch is in the house. I just finished playing Lakewood Country Club in Denver, Colorado. Last night I was at the Avalanche game where they won 4-1 against the Minnesota Wild. Tomorrow I'm going to the CU Buff game against ASU, 4-0 against 3-2 ASU. Then I'm going to the Colorado Flyers game tomorrow night. And then Sunday, I'm going to the Colorado Rockies Milwaukee Brewers game 3.
Look at you.
Nice. That sounds like a difficult schedule, Mitch.
How many beers are in the whole routine?
I'm a couple of vodka sodas deep right now. I'm not going to lie to you, but I did think it from 104 with a lob wedge today.
Oh, nice. Look at you.
But I lost $170 to my ex teammate, Derek West, and. So I'm down, but now I'm ready to get back up.
All right, man.
We were just talking about the article, Sam Darnold. What would you think, being a veteran guy where, you know, you lose three straight and the prize possession, the new shiny toy, decides to pen an article in the Players Tribune discussing whatever it is, saying how hard the process is, blah, blah, blah. What do you think the veteran guys would have thought of that?
I think it's a little early for a young guy to write anything about anything, to be honest. He probably should just keep it to himself. That Players Tribune thing seems for guys that sort of have had their stripes already. And so he probably shouldn't be penning anything. And they're kind of playing a little crappy right now. So not a big fan. I don't think his teammates are going to be a big fan. And from what I know of him drafted coming out, and I put him on my fantasy team, which I just dropped this week. He started hot, but he looks like he's going to have a humpy and bumpy freshman year here in the NFL, and he probably should make that his last article for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that was to be expected, right? Like, he's 21 years old. I think he was the youngest starter in NFL history or something like that, real close to it. And he had a great night, but it was against Detroit. You know, the Lions were brutal that night, and the Jets are not that good, you know? So he's going to have ups and downs. And if anyone, a lot of people were putting him in the Hall of Fame after that first Monday Nighter. Yeah. I mean, that's the truth.
And that's definitely not the case. I mean, and then the funny thing in the NFL is that even when you're a backup or an early guy, they don't know you. They don't have game film on you. But the defensive coordinators, the defensive players in this league, they're phenomenal. Once they get a beat on what you do, you have to be able to change it up, because if you keep doing the same stuff, they're going to tear you apart. That's why Tom Brady, a guy like that, that 1 week your running back gets 12 catches. The next time your wide receiver gets 10 catches, then you spread it around. You can't really time up a guy like that. So with this guy, I mean, there's just no success that can be guaranteed week in and week out. I think when you're a rookie and when you're young, it's best to be quiet, let people do the talking for you. As Bill McCarty, my coach at Colorado, said, Mitch, stop talking about yourself and let everybody talk about him for you. Because when you're really good, people will say it for you. You don't need to say it yourself.
Well, with that line of thinking, how about Jalen Ramsey, the corner for Jacksonville?
Well, he never heard that saying.
He's never shut up. But you know what? He backs it up. Like, he's an all-pro corner, and he's got Tyreek Hill in the Kansas City Chiefs this weekend. And I kind of sense, at some point, Mahomes, who has been exceptional through 4 weeks. I mean, 14 touchdowns, no picks. The guy's been money.
Throws left-handed, does it all.
At some point, though, he's going to have a bit of a reality check. Like, it's going to happen. He's going to have a down game. Someone's going to get him. I kind of feel like Jacksonville is primed to do that. Do you think Mahomes can step up and still perform, or do you expect the Jags defense to be all over him this weekend?
I expect the Jags defense to be all over him. I mean, I can't expect this kid to do it every week, week in and week out. This Jags defense is as good as any defense in the NFL. You're playing against the best corner probably in the NFL. At some point, he needs to face some adversity, and we'll see what this kid does. He's got the Pee Wee Herman voice, so it's hard to know what he's really thinking. I mean, the guy's got the funniest voice ever in the history of the NFL as a quarterback. But with that being said, the guy's playing phenomenal, but I think this is the defense to give him a hard time. I think they lose this game, and I think we find out what happens from adversity after this game. But if he finds a way to still beat this Jacksonville Jaguars defense, man, I don't know who can stop. If Jacksonville's defense can't stop this guy, I'm not exactly sure who can. So I'm really, really interested to see this game and see what kind of game plan they come up against with Jacksonville.
Mahomes is basically everywhere. You watch NFL Network, anything about football, he's the top discussion, how amazing he is. Have you ever played with a young kid where you're just seeing it as they're a young kid, they're starting, you know, they're a great guy, they got a lot of talent, a lot of promise, and it just grows into this animal that you're praying that they just don't get too full of themselves?
Randy Moss. I was there his rookie year, and that's what Randy was. And you know what? For the locker room, he never got too full of himself. He was a guy that was just an enigma. He was more talent than anybody had ever seen, and still probably the most talent I've ever seen on a team I've been on. But right now, I mean, he's got the keys to a Ferrari. That offense, the guys he has, the weapons that he has, that defense is obviously the crutch. If they even play okay, then the Kansas City Chiefs can win the Super Bowl this year, if they can even play okay. But again, there's a bunch of film on them now. There's a bunch of defensive coordinators seeing what they're doing. They're seeing his weaknesses. There's going to be some teams that are going to find a way to come at him. And that's the NFL. How do you adjust? The best teams are the ones who adjust, maybe not just even the second half of the season, but in the second half of football games. And that's why New England has been so good, because they're the greatest second-half adjustment team in the league. So I want to see how people adjust to Patrick Mahomes. Right now, he's playing unbelievable. He's so exciting to watch. He's the funnest guy to watch in the league. He is the leading guy for MVP. To me, him and Jared Goff, I'm just really curious to see what happens against Jacksonville.
With our NFL analyst, Mitch Berger, you mentioned the Pats, and last night they went off, and now they're 3-2. And they made their adjustments. You know, it's almost like once you get
and
through
Julian
September.
And Julian Edelman's back.
Yes, exactly. And Josh Gordon had a touchdown last night. So you got Edelman back. You've got Gordon, who appears to be finding himself. I mean, we'll see if he can keep himself out of trouble. Gronkowski's always going to be banged up a little bit. But if he's healthy and he's an option, you're good.
Let me interrupt to ask you this question. Would you rather have the New England Patriots offense with Tom Brady and all the weapons he has now, or would you rather have Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City offense going forward?
I think I'd take Brady just because I know the history. You know, I'm with you. Mahomes is the most entertaining player in the game. What he's done has been crazy, but Brady is Brady.
Brady's Brady.
You know, and I think Gronk can cancel out Kelsey. I think Gordon has the potential to cancel out Hill. Sony Michel, the first round pick, looks good. Like 2 weeks in a row, he's been really good.
So, yeah, so
maybe
good.
You know, Kareem Hunt and him kind of cancel each other out. Now you've got Edelman. It's close, but Brady, how do you sell Brady down the river? You know, the guy, he's 41, but he still looks great.
you're talking about two great offenses and you're talking about two sorry defenses. And you would think when it counts that Belichick will find a way to do something to disturb the guys at Kansas City, whereas on the other side of the deal, there's so many weapons. I don't think there's anything you can do to Tom Brady to stop him from, I mean, stop four guys, he'll throw to three other ones. And just his ability to throw it all around the field, it's one of those things, until you take out the champ, I got to take the champ.
Enjoy yourself in Denver. It sounds like you're already well on your way to doing that.
How many vodka sodas the whole weekend? Give me a number.
Last night, six. Today, four. 10 deep with about 15 more to go.
We'll hold you to that.
Yes.
We'll do it again next week. Thank you, Mitch.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
There's Mitch Berger having himself.
He is morphing into my favorite guest. I love his takes. He's got an opinion. He played everywhere. He played with all the big boys. He is the real deal.
He's the type of guy, though. He's great on our show. I'd like to have a vodka soda with him because I guarantee you he could get into the nitty-gritty. Yeah. Talking about, like, I wanted to hear behind the curtain what's Randy Moss really like.
Yeah. Randy is a rookie. What was that all about?
Yeah. Those are the types of stories.
We'll get into those with Mitch.
You're right. We'll get into them.
We'll get into them. We just got to loosen up a little bit. He's loose.
He's
we got
to
loosen up.
It's probably us that has to
loosen
up. That's
the truth, man. First time ever, we're the ones that are like kind of stiff.
Round of vodka sodas next time Mitchie's on.
I think that's what has to happen.
Yes.
We all commit to it. One for all.
I think we have to commit to a turkey sandwich on Tuesday morning. You can't.
You like cold turkey sandwiches?
Yes.
See, I don't mind them.
Because it's obviously leftovers. It's got to be from the fridge on a sandwich.
No, I think you warm it up. Don't you warm it up a little bit?
Malls, can you pull it off?
I like.
Yeah, he can pull it off.
No, he doesn't.
I'll be in Boston on Monday, but I'm back Tuesday for the show.
Okay.
What's Steph going to do?
Well, she can't make a sandwich for us?
Well, you know who she is, right?
she can make that happen. I'm putting faith
Somebody in
her.
In this building has got to just fire us up a turkey sandwich for Tuesday.
When we roll in here.
Al. See, Al's
you've
mom.
You've done nothing for four days. Al. You can do the sandwiches.
Good man, Al. Yes. Al will make it happen. TSN 1050's Leafs Win, You Win is back in a big way. This time you have a chance to see the Leafs in Vegas. Here's how it works. Enter once per day at TSN1050.ca and make sure you listen to the Leafs on 1050. And when they win, get up for First Up with Landsberg and Koliakovo. And if they say your name during the show, you have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in. If you beat the clock, go on to Vegas. See the Leafs take on the Golden Knights. All right?
Nice.
We'll tee up the weekend. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Melbourne tonight, plus 24.5 against the Raps. I'm a big fan of that Aussie basketball scene. I think Jacksonville, I don't know if they're going to win, but I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a field goal game. And I'm going to take the points, Jacksonville at Kansas City. Taking the Packers in Detroit, -2, and I'm going to take the points with Minnesota. Another tough game on the road in Philly, but the Eagles have not been great. They have not been great, and Minnesota needs a win. They've lost two games in a row. They're a good team. I think that's a close game.
You're not betting
They're under
on
the gun, man.
Big time. Both teams are under the gun.
You're not picking the Yankees or Sox? Too tight, eh?
Yeah, too tight. I mean, Jay Happ, I'm intrigued to see what Jay Happ's got going on. Houston beat up on the Tribe earlier today. Verlander, stud. As always.
Yes.
But I'll be watching that tonight. Like I love watching the Yankees and Sox in the playoffs. It's a 4.5-hour game, like we said, but it's a fun game. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you spend. I started reading an email that came
today, Junior.
Anyway, just go to Twitter and Best Bets brought to you by ProLine.
Planked it okay? off. You're all good.
It's been a long week.
You're good.
We're good.
You got a big night tomorrow night. Night off.
Green light.
How's your Sunday
special.
Routine going to look, though?
Sunday is going to be tough. You know what I'm doing on Monday is I'm going down to the Marlies home opener.
Oh, nice.
Down at the Coca-Cola Coliseum. New Let's name this year.
Change their name.
They're playing tonight in Utica. Their season opens tonight. And Monday, I mean, I'm going to be down there. It's a great... Getting to Leaf games are tough. You know, the tickets aren't available. If they are, it's going to cost you a lot of money, the Marlies. Of course, Grunstrom's down there.
Yep.
Could be some kids down there, right?
You get some peaks at everywhere.
Lilligren's down there. Rasmus Sandin is down there. We'll see.
Sam Gagner's down there.
Sam Gagner, local kid. He's a Toronto boy.
Jeff Glass just signed there.
I saw that. Yeah. So there you go. I'll be at the Coca-Cola Coliseum on Monday.
You got a big weekend ahead of you. Not quite like Mitch Berger, but you got a big one.
I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night. Oh, you got a big one, too. You're going down to Chicago to watch the Leafs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I figured, you know what? Monday, no work.
Yeah? I'm working
Jet
Monday.
Down.
What are you doing on Monday?
I'm doing Senators Bruins.
Oh, where? Oof.
In Boston?
That's awful.
Well, what do you mean?
How are you going to call those games all year? I don't know how you
Buddy,
do
this
it.
Guy would go...
I was watching
call
you last
a game.
Night.
It was a good game last
yeah,
night.
No,
you have to admit, of all your duties at TSN, that's your little baby. That's your baby. You love being with you.
I love calling games.
Yeah, you do a great job. You're very good at it.
Well, I enjoy it, though. Like, it was last night, like, for me, a part of it is being in the rink.
Well, I'm sure last night, you can see all the guys and have a chat. And I'm sure last night, you're kind of the Sens guy. If they can give you a bunch of those games where you're like, you know what? They're in the fight.
And it was like. You don't care
either way, but
no,
just for entertainment value.
But you're talking 50% about the other team. So I'm watching Jonathan Toews score. Patrick Kane's OT winner was a beauty off of a skate. Like, it was...
He could have a half an hour highlight film of backhand shelf goals.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It's the best I've ever seen.
It was an unreal shot, too. But, like, just having a little chat. Like, I had a good chat with Corey Crawford yesterday.
How's he doing?
Good. I mean, they're targeting... He said it's just about being in shape now. Like, they're targeting, I think it's... October 18th against Arizona. But, like, that's a big part of that team. They've got some, like, that Alex DeBrinket.
He's a really good player.
Hell of a player.
Really good player.
21.
Second rounder, too.
Yeah, how did he, like,
got him in the second? Well, he's small, right?
Yeah.
But he scored 50 in the O. He played with McDavid.
Man, is he good. He had 28 last year. 28 goals. Like, is that more of the quietest 28?
Because Chicago was a disappointment, right? People didn't pay much attention.
He's a good player. They had a couple players play last night.
Bounce back year. Johnny T had a couple points last
night. Yeah, Johnny T looked good.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're, like, Seabrook scored a goal. Like, they're the guys that they expect. That's what the guys that they pay money have to be good.
You got to perform.
We are going to break everything down on Tuesday because we have Monday off, and look at my hands. What time will we start?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
4 p.m. on Tuesday.
We'll chat then.